All right, we're getting here on the top of Dalet Amud Aleph. The Gemara is trying to find the case in which you can have Nizirut be in violation of Baal Teh Acher. Because we saw there was a Hekesh between Nidarim and Nizirut. By Nidarim, we can find a case of Baal Teh Acher. The Ran gives the example of someone who commits to give a Korban, and then if he is delayed by 3 Regalim, then he is in violation of Baal Teh Acher. Some question whether that means that the Ran does not believe there's Baal Teh Acher by regular Yisurim, although the Ran later on in the Masechta does say it explicitly, and most Rishonim believe that you can be in violation of Baal Teh Acher by Nidre Yisur, where it demands something of you, that you can be in violation of Baal Teh Acher if you delay beyond the 3 Regalim. The question was, why do we need that Hekesh to Nizirut from Nidarim on that, if by Nizirut there is no concept of Baal Teh Acher? So Rabbah yesterday suggested a solution to that problem, which is lo iftar min olam ad shehei nazir. So we saw yesterday, most of the Rishonim believe that that is actually a qualified answer and it works, although the Rabbeinu Tam believed that the Gemara challenged that answer and said that that was not a sufficient answer because it's chal right away on him, the Nizirut, because there's a demand that he immediately do this because he needs to accomplish it an hour before he dies. And at any moment, that could be the hour before he dies, and therefore there's pressure on him to execute on this neder in order to accomplish it. So therefore, Rabbeinu Tam said that since it's chal right away because of that, there is no Baal Teh Acher here. On the other hand, the Ran and many of the other Rishonim believe that the Baal Teh Acher is the fact that you have to take care of it right away. So if you don't take care of it right away, then you're in violation of Baal Teh Acher. We saw that the Ran believes you're in violation immediately, whereas the Rosh believes you're only in violation after 3 Regalim. So now we have, either according to the Rabbeinu Tam, the first answer, another answer, but the first one, or according to the other Rishonim, this is another answer that we can give, which is, V'achar b'Yakov amar kagon, d'nadar v'hu b'beit ha'gvorot. He takes his neder nizirut inside of a cemetery. The problem, obviously, of taking the nazirut inside of the cemetery is that you're tamei automatically, and one of the restrictions of a nazir is not to be tamei le meitim. According to Reish Lakish, who believes that the nazirut does not take effect immediately, that works out fine. According to Rabbi Yochanan, who says that immediately the Nizirut takes effect on him, what type of Baal Teh Acher do you have over here? Va'od, ha-mamar, bar-ravashi, chayla Nizirut alei me'altar. The Nizirut takes effect immediately, v'chi pligei, and the only machloket between them is the inyan malkot pligei, that they have a machloket with regards to malkot. So now, the Gemara is in a bind because if you want to create Baal Teh Acher, it means that there has to be that the Nizirut is not effective immediately. If it's effective immediately, then there's no Baal Teh Acher because there's no choice about the matter. So first of all, we said, okay, maybe according to Reish Lakish, who says there's some sort of postponement in the effectiveness of the Nizirut, there we would suggest that there is Baal Teh Acher. But according to Rabbi Yochanan, who the halacha would be like, he says that it goes effective immediately. In addition to that, we have a qualification of Mar Bar Ravashi, who says even Reish Lakish agrees that it's chayil right away, that the Nizirut takes effect immediately. The only question is, do you get Malkot for the fact that it was effective immediately? So in that case, both agree that the Nizirut is effective immediately and there's no Baal Teh Acher. Baal Teh Acher only applies when there's some sort of postponement. Now, what does that mean that the Inyan Malkot Pligei? There's really a Gemara we'll get to in Nazir, in Tadzayin Amud Bet, Yudzayin Amud Aleph, in Masechet Nazir. But here the Rishonim have varied views as to what exactly is meant by the Gemara over here. So now, first of all, the Rosh says, Ki pligli l'inyan malkot, the Rosh says, Vav liba demand amar lav shein bo maseh lokin alav. First of all, it's either required to be according to the one who says that a lav shein bo maseh you get malkot for. So here you didn't take any action. It's your inaction that's causing the problem that you're staying in the Beit HaGvarot. Number two is Inami, Isur Malkot Inka. Or he says, when they're talking about Malkot here, it doesn't literally mean Malkot. It means an Isur that involves Malkot, but not that you actually get Malkot because it's a Lav Shein Bo Maseh. So that's number one qualification that is made by the Rosh. The Tosafot over here says, Kumei Alma Lo Plige Techaile Im Shote Biyayin O Megaleach. Everybody agrees that if he drinks wine Or he cuts his hair here. Loke ba'odo nami beit ha'kvarot. He'll get makot while he's still in the beit ha'kvarot. Based on Marba Ravashi's explanation that both Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan believe that the Nizirul goes into effect immediately. It goes into effect for Tiglachat and for Shtiat Yayin. So they both agree, and you will get Malkot if you violate either one of those. That's Nizirut is Chalav. Kiplige lemilke ala Tuma. Do you get Malkot for the Tuma? If you are still in the Beit HaGvarot, and somebody tells you you have to leave because you're a Nazir, then Rabbi Yochanan Savar, Kevin the Chayla Linyan Shardinim, Loki. Since the Nizirut takes effect for the wine drinking and for the hair cutting, so too it takes effect for the Tuma. And even though you started bituma, if you stay in there bituma, you're going to get malkot for it. Yeah, for every hatra'ah that you get, you'd be chayav malkot. Ve'ish lakish, savar, lo laki mishum tuma, takati lo chalalav nizirut ta'ara. He hasn't started b'nizirut b'ta'ara. This is what we call nizirut bituma. And then he has to be mitahir himself and then start his process of nizirut b'ta'ara. Aval, vaday chal nizirut li'in shar dinim, ishtod yayim le'galeach. But nevertheless, the lion and the giluach, which he can take effect, he does get malkot for.
He ends up with two timelines.
No, his nizirut b'tahara will be the only thing that counts for his 30 days of nizirut. But as far as his obligations towards the nizirut, they still apply even when he is tameh. Meaning, even if he breaks up his nizirut b'tumah, that only is a problem in tumah. Doesn't give him permission to drink wine and to cut his hair. He just has to get back to nizirut tahara. The Ran, on the other hand, says, the question between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, he says, Anicha the man damar luchal nizirut alei la'altar. Says it's plukto the Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, which we mentioned. Rabbi Yochanan, yochle v'shati yayin v'veita kavarot, loki, you get malkot. The chaylai nizirut miyad. Because nizirut takes effect immediately. But Reish Lakish, lo chaylai nizirut miyad, ulechi nofik v'veita kavarot, sarich lakzor lekabel. He has to have another kabbalat nizirut when he goes out. According to Reish Lakish, he committed to making a nizirut. That's what causes the Baal Tacher problem. But he's not a Nazir until he walks out of the Beit HaKavarot and accepts a Nizirut. So now, Baravashi says everybody agrees, V'lo tzarich Kabbalah. In that case, the Ran says now you don't need any more or new Kabbalat Nizirut. Uyin makotu dupligi, ilaki al achilat anavim, ba'oto beBeit HaKavarot. So the Ran says differently than the Tosafot. Tosafot says, Machlok b'tin Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish is about whether you get makot for Tumah. In the Beit HaKavarot, everybody agrees you get for Achilat Anavim and Shtiat Yayin and Tiglachat you get Makot for. But the question is about Tumah. The Ran reads it differently. It says, no, the Machloket is exactly about that. Do you get Makot for Yayin and for Tiglachat while you're still in there? Since the Nizirut takes effect on you, you don't need a separate Kabbalah. Is that sufficient to make you Chayav and Makot, which will be the position of Rabbi Yochanan, for drinking wine and Tiglachat? Or according to Reish Lakish, he says, yes, it is effective now, which means you don't need a separate Kabbalah. But since it's not effective because of the Tumah, it's also not effective for the Yayin and the Tiglachat. Once you walk out of the Beit HaKvarot, it'll take effect on you, and then everything will have impact on you once you retire yourself. But you won't have to make a separate Kabbalah, because you already have a Kabbalah. But it will take effect as soon as you retire yourself. All right, so therefore, no matter how you explain it, according to the way that Mar Baravashi qualifies this, whether according to Tosafot it means that we're just arguing about the Tumah, but for Yayin and Tiglachat it's taken effect for Malkot, whether you read like the Ran, that it doesn't take effect for anything according to Reish Lakish in terms of Malkot, but you don't need a separate Kabbalah. The fact that you don't need a Kabbalah means you can't have Baal Ta'acher. Because Baal Ta'acher only applies when you've obligated yourself to do something or accept something. If it happens automatically, then you can't claim Baal Ta'acher over here because you don't have to do anything. It will happen by itself. So therefore, the Gemara is now in a bind as how does Rabbi Achav Yaakov's solution help us with regards to Baal Ta'acher? The Gemara says, Afilo achi kamlei b'shum Baal Ta'acher. There is still a Baal Ta'acher here. B'shum tukama acher nizirut ta'ara. Because he is postponing starting his Nizirut Tahara, which is the core Nizirut of the real Nizirut, those 30 days that he needs to count, he is now violating in terms of Baal Ta'acher. So now, what you have from this is what Ravashi says, Am Ravashi, Hol V'chein, if that is true, what you're saying now, Nazir Shitimetz Mo B'mezid, a Nazir that gets himself Tameh intentionally, Over Mishum Baal Ta'acher Nizirut Tahara, then he also will be in violation of Baal Ta'acher when it comes to his Nizirut Tahara. If you're claiming here at the start of his Nizirut, where he's starting his Nizirut Bitumah, which means that his Nizirut Tahara will not take effect until he cleanses himself, is Mitahir himself, and then it goes into effect. And that's called Baal Tacher, because he's causing a postponement of the effective Nizirut that will discharge his obligation to have 30 days. If that's called a postponement, that means that even if he started as a Nizir Bitahara, and then in the middle of his Nizirut, he decides to go and touch a mate, intentionally, now he's oker his Nizirut Bitahara, and yes, he has to be Mitahir himself, and he has to go through the whole process of his Nazir Bitumah, and then come back as a Nazir Bitahara, but he's also caused the postponement, intentionally, of his Nizirut Bitahara, and therefore he should be in violation of Baal Tacher. Now, from the simple reading of the Gemara, it would only be true where you did it b'mezid, if you did it intentionally. The Rambam even here claims that you will get Malkot for Baal Tacher. That's a Rambam l'shitato, because the Rambam believes that when you have a lav shein bo maaseh, you don't get Malkot, but if you do it through an action, then you get Malkot. So generally, Baal Tacher is an inaction, and that's why you don't get Malkot. It's a lav shein bo maaseh. But over here, you can accomplish Baal Tacher through an action. By being nitameh yourself, you cause Baal Tacher. So the Rambam believes that you get Malkot in this case. According to this, this Baal Tacher is, even for Rabbi Yochanan, there's a delay in his taking on the Nizirut B'Tahara. But the fact that he took it while he was Tameh is already problematic. He put himself in a position where his Nizirut won't take effect. And so maybe he's even Miyad, Chayav. Others suggest that when it's through inaction, then he has three regalim. The Rosh says that. The Rosh says, Im nishtahe betumat gimel regalim, v'hu yedin im nitma be'ones, im ishiya haita be'mezid. If he delays or tarries for three regalim, then, on purpose or intentionally, then he is chayav baal tacher. So the Rosh adds on an additional dynamic here, which was not true. The Rambam says it has to be tameh be'mezid, and he does it intentionally. Rosh says here, even if you unintentionally became tameh, if you're not mitaher yourself within the three regalim, then you are chayav for baal tacher, because, yes, it wasn't your fault that you became tameh, but it is your fault that you didn't fix that problem. But he says you get three regalim, and he says the same thing here, mishteh betumat gimel regalim. Over here, if he does it in the Beit HaKvarot and waits three regalim to come tohor, then he's in violation of baal tacher. But that's only true according to the Rosh. But the Ran seems to indicate that right away he's in violation. I mean, that there is a restriction against a Nazir becoming Tameh. But not only will you be in violation of becoming Tameh, but you also will be in violation of Baal Te'acher. So here we have, again, a number of different shitot as to what it means to be Baal Te'acher here, whether it's a delay of three regalim, is a delay immediately that you're in violation of Baal Te'acher. Also as to whether when you have a Neder Nizirut in the Beit HaKvarot, what exactly is the machlok between Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish? We saw a machlok with regards to that between the Tosafot and the Ran. And now we're going to move on to another option, which is Rav Acha b'Rei Rav Ika Amar Over b'Baal Tacher Tiglachto. That there's a separate Baal Tacher here, which is the Baal Tacher Tiglachat. That he delays the cutting of his hair, doing the Tiglachat at the end of his Nizirot. Lo mi bai l'man d'amar tiklachat me'akevet. Not only according to the one who says that your tiklachat is me'akev, your ability to drink wine and to be freed of your neder nizirut. El afil l'man d'amar tiklachat ena me'akevet. Even according to the one who says that once you've brought your korban and you finished up your nizirut, you can drink wine and tiklachat is not me'akev, your ability to leave your neder nizirut. Mitzvah giluach mi'alo mi'kayim. The mitzvah of giluach you are postponing. So even if it's not integral to your nizirut to do this cutting of the hair at the end, nevertheless, it is a mitzvah associated with the neder nizirut, and therefore the baal tacher that is happening over here is that you are delaying or postponing your accomplishing of this baal tacher, which is that you should have gotten your hair cut at the end to accomplish this mitzvah, and therefore the tiglachat and the bringing the korbanot, we're going to see in a second, is something that is subject to Baal Tacher. If you do not accomplish your Nizirut, if you don't get your Nizirut done in a proper time, then you're delaying the accomplishment of this mitzvah, which is the mitzvah to cut one's hair at the end of the Nizirut. And Mazut Rebrei Demarei Amar Over Baal Tacher Korbanotav. You have the same thing here, which is the Valtacher korbanotav, which is if you do not get your nizirut done, and then bring your korbanot that are due at the end of your nizirut, then you're in violation of Valtacher with the korban, which is like any other neder. By other nederim, we have the same type of Valtacher. If you take a neder to bring korbanot, then if you wait 3 regalim, then you are in violation of Valtacher. So to hear, by neder nizirut, when you take neder nizirut, along with the neder nizirut comes an obligation to bring korbanot. So if you do your nizirut, you accomplish the 30 days and you're finished, but then you tarry and bring in the korbanot to terminate the nizirut. Or you tarry in cutting one's hair, shaving one's head at the end of this nizirut. In both those instances, you are in violation of Baal Tacher because you have a mitzvah which was a derivative of the obligation of the neder nizirut. And since you are postponing them over 3 regalim, you'll be in violation of Baal Tacher. So by the Tiglachet, it may not be Ma'akev's ability to drink wine, but there's still an obligation for him to cut his hair. And he's still supposed to do that. So he has to shave his head at the end of his nizirut. If he postpones doing that, then he's in violation of Baal Tacher. The same thing with the korbanot. That is because when he took the neder nizirut, he made a commitment to do these items. Just like when you commit to bring a korban nedava, you were not obligated in it. You don't have to bring the korban. The only reason you have to bring the korban is to discharge your neder. So it's over here. The only reason you have to cut your hair or bring these korbanot to the end is because you engaged in a neder nizirut. So both of those are subject to Baal Tacher if you complete your nizirut. So Gemara says, Umin hacha nafkale? Wait a minute. Baal Tacher by korbanot comes from there? Mehotam nafkale. We learned that from the pasuk in Devarim, which says, Ki darosh idrashenu, that Hashem will demand them of you. If you make a commitment to bring something, then Hashem demands that you bring them. Elu chataot v'ashamot. These include any asham or chatat. A nazir who completes his nizirut, bitara, brings a chatat or ulah and a shlamim. So there's a baal tacher with regards to these korbanot, independent of the Isur Baal Tacher that's specifically associated with neder or nizirut. When you have an obligation to bring a korban, then Hashem's going to come after you, you know, Gidroshi Drashenu. He's going to demand that you bring it or look for, to make sure that you bring it. So Mara says, Maudutema Chidushu Shechid Shatorah Benazir. The Nazir is unique in some way. Because it's a Chidush, therefore the Chidush makes it that Nazir doesn't fall into this category. My Chidush. What's the chidush by Nazir that makes it so unique? Ilema delo matpis le the chatat Nazir b'neder. You're unable to be matpis the chatat of Nazir through a neder. If a person wants to take a neder to bring a chatat Nazir, he decides that he really likes this chatat Nazir and he wants to bring a chatat Nazir, so he wants to take a neder to do that. You can't do that. It doesn't work. The way the Ran phrases it is, tequila. Sheinu yocholat pisa b'neder, sheamar chatat nazir alai, v'huenu nazir, lo amar klom, ho v'kila, since it's such a weak form of kedusha, v'sakha datamina, lo likom ba'al tacher. Since it has this weaker form of kedusha, therefore, we would assume that it also doesn't have this iser ba'al tacher, that's the chidush, that the chatat of nazir can only come in the framework of nazir. You can't obligate yourself in the korbanot of nazir, elim kain, you are a nazir. Wait a minute. Now, chatat chelev is a phrase that the Gemara uses when it wants to talk about the generic chatat. The reason is either because the parsha of chataot is juxtaposed to the isur of chelev, and that's really where the korban chatat is discussed with regards to chelev, and that's why so chatat chelev becomes the paradigmatic type of chatat. Others say because it's something that you can violate easily, and therefore was the most common type of chatat that was brought. But any chatat is that way. You can't voluntarily bring a chatat. You can't take a neder to bring a chatat. The only way you're chayav in a chatat is if you violate the lav. So there, by a chatat, despite the fact that you cannot obligate yourself in a chatat, except by violating the isur, nevertheless, it's still subject to baal tacher. We just saw that. Ki darosh yidrashenu. That's elu chataot. That every chatat has a din of baal tacher, even though you can't voluntarily enter yourself into a chiyuv chatat. So therefore, that can't be the reason to say by nazir that there's no baal tacher, because the chatat nazir is not different than any other chatat, where you can't generate it of your own will, of your own volition, because it's something that's a result of an nizirut, or a result of violating an isur, but not something that you can engage yourself in. Ela, my chidushay. So then what's the chiddush by Nazir that would give you contemplation to say it's not subject to Baal Tacher? Sakhadat Ramina, oh, v'imamar, harini Nazir, afilu mina chartzan. If a person says, I'm a Nazir, even from chartzan, which is a part of the grape, machloket in the Gemara Nazir, whether chartzan is the skins of the grape or the pit of the grape, but even if you just say that, have a Nazir, look, oh, it automatically devolves upon him the entire Nizirut. Ema lo la'aver alei mishum Baal Tacher. Maybe we should say now that he's not in violation of Baal Tacher because Nizirut can be entered into in such a easy way. Kamash Balan, that is not the case, and there's still Baal Tacher with regards to the Korbanot and Nazir. Mar says, Anich l'man damar ki Nazir min achartzan abi Nazir. L'kol, that if he does take a neder, Nazir min achartzan, that automatically becomes a full neder Nizirut, then that's fine. Hello, Rabbi Shimon, Damar ein Nazir achi asir mikulan. According to Rabbi Shimon, unless you specify every item, or you just say Nazir plain, then you're not a Nazir, then that doesn't work over here. Ma'ika the Meimar, va'od. In addition to this, hai chidush the chumrahu. This chidush is a chumrah. Because what you're saying is that you don't need a full-fledged neder to get to Nizirut. You're saying that even a small statement will get you all the way to being a neder Nizirut. If that's the case, it's a chumrah. So it's more chamor, Nizirut, won't you expect Baal Tacher to apply, more likely to apply? So that's the question over here. The question of chidush is, why does chidush change the dynamic? So you could say that if it's a chidush the kula, then it's something that changed the dynamic because you see that this has certain leniencies, and then by having leniencies, you would leave it out of Baal Tacher. Or you can say that when something has a chidush, that chidush makes it an independent case. And if it's an independent case, you can't have it either learn from it to other items or learn from other items to it. So now, if it's the first case, then obviously a chiddush l'kula is necessary because that's the only way you can say there's a leniency here, which then also affects Baal Tacher. In the other case where you say chiddush takes it out of the parsha, maybe a chiddush l'chumra doesn't necessarily allow you to learn from it, but maybe you can learn from other things because why should it be any more kal than other items? So we need to look for a chiddush l'kula, which would say that you can't learn from other things. Elamai chiddushe. So then again, what is the chiddush of the korbanot of the nazir that would make you think that maybe it's not subject to Baal Tacher? V'im gileach achat mishloshtan yatsa. So because if he does his giluach, if he shaves his head at the end of his nazirut on any one of the korbanot, then he's fine. It doesn't have to be on all three korbanot or any particular korban. As long as he does it on one of the korbanot, that is sufficient. So that is not true by other korbanot. By other korbanot, you need to bring all the korbanot to discharge your obligation. Over here, in order to discharge your obligation and do the giluach, you only need one of the three korbanot that you are obligated in. So because of that, lo le'avor b'baal tacher. So therefore, you should not be in violation of Baal Tacher. The korbanot we see, they're not as important to the finishing of your nizirut. By neder, when you take the neder, bring korbanot, you only discharge the neder once you've done all the korbanot. Over here, the fact that by bringing one korban, you can end your nizirut, that shows you that all these korbanot are not ma'akev and they're not so obligatory in that way. In the end, you will have to bring them. There's a mitzvah to bring them. But they're not as obligatory as you would by a neder where you can't get done, you cannot complete the neder until you've done this. Over here, you can complete your nizirut without bringing all the korbanot. And you still have to bring the korbanot, but they will not be ma'akev the conclusion of your nizirut. All right, so that's it. Kamash malon, that we still say Baal Tacher by nizirut. V'baiteima, my chidushay, mishum delo matpiso b'neder. Because the fact is, you can't create it through a neder. V'haka kashalach chatat chelev. Wait a minute, we already tried this route and it didn't work because all chatot are that way. You can't create any chatat through a neder. No, chatat chelev, ka'atio l'kapara. There's a big difference. Chatat chelev, the purpose is to atone for something you did wrong. So we understand why there would be a Baal Tacher over there. The person violated some isur, and now they're obligated to bring a korban chatat. That obligation is tied to the violation and to the kapara, the atonement of the individual. So postponing it is a violation of Baal Tacher. Chatat Nazir, l'mayatya. The Chatat Nazir, what is that coming from? It's, you did nothing wrong. The person was not chuteh in being a Nazir. That's not so simple. But assuming that that's the case, then what is the purpose of the Chatat HaNazir? Now the Ran already takes this up and says, wait a minute. We do know that there is an opinion. Rabbi Elazar HaKapar, which we'll see later on in the Masechta, and in Nazir, says that the chatat is kashitzir atzmo min hayayin, that the chatat of a Nazir does become bitim mechaper because he was mitzar atzmo min hayayin, because he didn't partake in yayin. Either you can claim that it's a dat yachid, and therefore it's not the more general view of the chatat of Nazir, or you can say like what the Ran says, which is "Vafilu leman damar nazir chutehu enu chute gamur veikor korban lo ati lekapara." The Ran already dilutes it by saying that even if you say the chatat's coming because tzirat tzmo min hayayin, it's not a full fledged chatat. That's a drasha. It's a nice idea, but it's not the core essence of why you're bringing a chatat over here. So this is a chatat that's not associated with a chait. Since a chatat associated with a chait, maybe there won't be baal tacher over here.
What is it?
We'll find later on. We'll see in the Gemara Nazir. The chatat can function as a matir, not necessarily as a kapara. So that might be that what the chatat is. The chatat is really a matir, but it's a matir by Nazir that allows him to go on to drink wine or to do his tiglachat. It's a matir, we're going to see in a second, by Yoledet, that allows her now to re-enter the Mikdash and to eat Kodoshim. And maybe by Kapara, by things where you've sinned, it allows one to re-engage their relationship with God. That Kapara is a matir to allow you to re-engage with God. So Chatat might be a more general category of a matir, and depending on what the situation is, that matir may manifest itself as Kapara. And other times it manifests itself as just simply allowing the person to complete whatever they are engaged in right now. Right, so now we have two answers over here. One possible answer is the reason that we need a Baal Tacher is because there's a kula by Nazir that only one of the korbanot is needed in order to do the tiglachat. You don't need all the korbanot. The second possibility of the kula is that the chatat Nazir is not really a chatat, and you can't generate it, you can't bring it through a neder. It's also not a dinin kapara. Now, the fact that you can't drink wine until you bring your chatat, that the Ran says is not sufficient to deem it as being something that is obligatory or necessary, because drinking of wine is a reshut, is optional. You don't have to drink wine. So since you don't have to drink wine, therefore the lack of bringing a chatat, or the obligation to bring a chatat, is not really an obligation in that sense. It's just, if you want to drink wine, you must bring the chatat. And therefore it would not be deemed to be obligatory. And that's why we're considering over here the possibility that there wouldn't be a din of baal tacher by the chatat. Now the Ran does ask, why can't I bring it in a me'atzad from shlamim and chatat? Because I have shlamim and I have a chatat, and they're both subject to baal tacher. And a chatat nazir is no better than a regular chatat and a shlamim put together, because anything that you could say about a chatat nazir would apply to one of them. One you can bring voluntarily, the other one you can't bring voluntarily. One of them is not obligatory, the other one is obligatory. So you can have all these factors together, and b'matzad you could actually learn out the chatat nazir. The Ran says over here, ain't no chanami, you could learn it that way, but b'matzad akesha adifa. That when it comes to a me'atzad, if you have any question on it, we break it up. But once you have a hekesh is a much stronger type of limud that allows you to overcome certain obstacles. And therefore the Gemara is after this stronger type of limud, which is the hekesh between the zirut and nidarim. So now the Gemara says, Varei chatat yoledet, delo atya kapara. What about a woman who gives birth, who brings a chatat when she gives birth? And that's not coming for kapara. It's also, again, a matir. Vavar ala mishum baal tacher. And you're in violation of baal tacher. Now, the Rakiv Eger asks over here, he doesn't know why the Gemara is so sure that you are in violation of baal tacher, and why the Gemara knows for sure there you're in violation of baal tacher, whereas by Nazir it has all these questions. He says he doesn't understand totally why the Gemara just went in that direction and said, okay, yeah, for sure they're in violation of baal tacher. The Gemara says, Hai kasharya la lemechal b'kodoshim. That grants her the right to eat in Kodoshim. Now, the Chatat by the Nazir also grants him the right to drink wine. What's the difference? So that we just explained, that by Yayin, it's a Rishut. It's optional to drink wine, and therefore you can't say it's a mitzvah that is being engaged in here. By bringing the Chatat, you're allowing yourself to do a mitzvah. On the other hand, when it comes to Achilat Kodoshim is a mitzvah. And therefore, bringing the Chatat is something that enables one then to accomplish the mitzvah of Achilat Kodoshim. Now that is controversial. We'll see here that there are different opinions amongst the Rishonim, but it's not so simple that Achilat Kodeshim is a mitzvah, but that's how all the Rishonim explain it over here. Now in terms of the chait by Yoledet, over there we have the same type of idea, that Rabbi Shimon's opinion that a Yoledet brings a chatat because she was nishbait when she was giving birth, that she won't have any more children because it was so painful, etc., etc. The Ran just makes one point. He says, even if she knows for sure she didn't take a shvua, she still brings the chatat. So that's proof that the chatat is not necessarily associated with that chait. Because if that was the case, if she knew for sure she didn't take the shvua, then she wouldn't have to bring the chatat at all. All right, it is a partial explanation for the chatat, but it's not a complete explanation. And therefore, just like by the chatat nazir, even if you say tzir etzmo min hayayin, that's not enough to really call it a chatat. So here, by the chatat that you led it, where, again, there's no obligation because of kapara, yet the Gemara thinks that Baal Tacher is obvious over there. Why is that any different than Chatat Nazir? The Gemara explains because the matir, or the heter, that the Chatat Yoledet generates, which is Achilat Kodashim, is something that's a mitzvah versus the heter that it generates for Shtiat Yayin by the Nazir, which is not a mitzvah. Now, what mitzvah is this? So the Ran suggests, V'achilat Kodashim mitzvahi, kigon, Achilat Psachim, Taisha Nami Mechaivo. Because the woman is also Chayevet. So that's also interesting in itself. First of all, you have to establish that the women are Chayevot in Korban Pesach. Number two is, you have to assume that the Achilat Kodashim is a mitzvah here, is dealing with Pesach. Does that mean that she has to be near Pesach for this to be a mitzvah? Or, if this is right after Pesach, and she's becoming Torah, that there is a mitzvah to come Torah? I mean, the Baal Tacher takes three regalim. So maybe it means that she has to become Tahor before Pesach. So she'll never pass three regalim without becoming Tahor, or she'll be in violation of Baal Tacher because she doesn't deal with the fact that she needs to be Tahor for the Kodshim or for the Pesach. That's the way the Ran explains it. Tosafot over here says, V'afagav de nazir nami shari le'lishto b'yayin ein ze mitzvah. Aval lechol b'kodeshim mitzvah hi. Dichtiv. V'achlu otam asher kupar v'hem. That those that get the kapara should eat them. Hilkach shayach be. It might be the korban herself that she's bringing, or any kapara that she would bring would obligate her in eating the chatat. Now that's very difficult because the chatat is eaten by the kohanim and not by the isha. So Tosfot's explanation might be true that there's a mitzvah on the kohanim to eat kodoshim, but as you explain the fact that the person who attains kapara through this korban, why do they have to eat kodoshim and what type of mitzvah is involved over here? So now, Tosafot, again, it's interesting from two perspectives. One perspective is that he thinks that there is a mitzvah to eat kodeshim, which is not even so straightforward, that there's a mitzvah that devolves upon an individual who eat kodeshim. It may be a more general mitzvah, which is that the kodeshim must be eaten. We'll see that a second in the Rosh. But number two is, it's something that seemingly applies to the kohanim. The Gemara quotes this in other places, that the kohanim eat, and the balim atei in kapara. So that's referred to in the kohanim. So what does that have to do with the isha at all? Then you have the Rosh over here, who says, Shachilat kodeshim mitzvahi dichtiv yachru otam asher kupar behem, va'od shelo yavo lidei notar. So he adds in this additional aspect of notar, which is that by the case of eating kodeshim, there may be no mitzvah to eat kodeshim, but there might be a mitzvah not to allow notar to come about. And that is actually a chakira that the Minchat Chinuch makes with regards to achilat kodeshim. Is there a mitzvah of achilat kodeshim? Is there a mitzvah of achilat kodeshim that devolves upon each individual kohen to eat kodeshim, and therefore he has to get a kazayit to eat because there's a mitzvah of achilat kodeshim like any other achilah? Or is the mitzvah on the kohenim to ensure that all the kodeshim get eaten so that it doesn't come to notar? So that means that there's a mitzvah on the class as a whole of kohenim to finish up the kodeshim so they don't come to notar. Or you could do something in between which says that there is a mitzvah on all the kohenim to eat the kodeshim, but that doesn't devolve on any specific individual. As long as some kohen eats it, then the mitzvah is accomplished. So you have a spectrum of what the mitzvah of echilat kodeshim is. Is it a mitzvah that devolves on every kohen? Is it simply there's a mitzvah not to allow notar, meaning that there's an obligation on the class of kohenim to make sure there's no notar? Or is there something in between, which is that any kohen who eats is engaged in a mitzvah, but there's no mitzvah on the individuals themselves to eat the kodeshim? The Tosafot and the Rosh give you two of those options, but both of them deal with kohanim. So it's not so clear here why that involves the isha and her eating of kodeshim. Now they might extrapolate from there and say, well, it's true by kodeshim to kohanim, it's true by the balim, by korbanot. And therefore the woman would also have this mitzvah of Echilat Kodoshim. The Ran went to Korban Pesach, where there's an obligatory Korban that is associated possibly with the woman who is obligated in bringing Korban Pesach. There, the obligation's on her to eat the Korban Pesach, because Korban Pesach, the eating is Ma'akev, the Korban. And there, that might be obviously why the Ran picked Pesachim, but you have a Tzar Chiyon on the way that the Tosafot and the Rosh are explaining it, because then what does it have to do with the woman herself? The next part of the Brayta says, Amamar, Uma Nidarim, Av Mefer Nidre Bito, Baal Mefer Nidre Ishto. Like we see by Nidarim, that the father has the right to nullify his daughter's Nidarim, and the husband has the right to nullify his wife's Nidarim. Av Nizirut, the same is true by Nizirut, Av Mefer Nizirut Bito. The father is Mefer, the Nizirut of his daughter, Baal Mefer Nizirut Ishto. And a husband can nullify the Nizirut of his wife. The Gemara says, Lama Li Hekesha. Why do I need this Hekesh? Why do I need to learn this from Nidarim? It should just be a derivative of Nidarim. If by Nidarim this is true, then why isn't that also true by Nazir? Nazir is just a subset of Nidarim. So if he can be Mefer a Neder, why can't he be Mefer a Neder Nizirut? Dilma, Gabe Nidarim, Dohu Mefer, Mishum Delo, Itle Kitsuta. Because by a Neder is an endless thing. It doesn't have a time or an expiration associated with it. Aval gabi nizirut eitle kitzuta. But by nizirut where there's an end in sight. So stam nizirut lamed yom. Because the stam nizirut is for 30 days. Aim alo. In that case, I would say no, kamash malon. Now, what the Gemara did here was, let's talk about stam, the default. A default neder that you take has no time associated with it. So a neder has no time factor involved with it when you take it stam. And the zirut, if you take it stam, does have a limitation of 30 days. So maybe we'll tell the husband, you know, just swallow hard and deal with it for 30 days and it'll be done. By neder, which is something that's going to progress forever. Now remember, we're talking about nidrei inui nefesh, or things that are beino leveina. So there's a specific class of nidarim that they're allowed to nullify. It's not any neder that he can nullify. That's something that affects the marriage, or something that's inui nefesh. So in that case, if she takes it stam, that is something that has no expiration to it, and we can't tell him, just deal with it. So therefore, maybe there he's allowed to nullify. But in Zirut, if she takes it stam, then maybe in that case we would thought otherwise. Now it's true. In both cases, you can do something else. You can make someone that can become a nazir for as many years as they want, or they can make it endless. And the same is true by a neder. You can limit the neder to 30 days. But in the stam, in the default, a neder has no time bind to it, and a nizirut does have a timeline to it, and therefore you would have thought maybe nizirut should not be able to be nullified by the husband. The answer in the end is kamashman, yes, and that's what the Hekesh teaches us. That's why he couldn't just do it through a mei matzino. Now the Ran asks, why don't you flip that question on its head and say, well, now that we know that nizirut is limited to 30 days, why don't we say mei matzino that all nidarim are limited to 30 days? So he says that can't be the case, because under the category of nidarim include nidrei hekdesh. And nidrei hekdesh have no time component to them. And therefore you couldn't limit nidarim by the qualification of nazir that it only be for 30 days. Right. Ha'omer lechavero, now at the end of our Mishnah. The Mishnah said at the end, mudarani, if a person takes a neder to restrict himself, Mudrani mimcha, mufshani mimcha, muchanik mimcha, shani ochel lecha, nor shani toim lecha, asur. That person is asur. Now, what are the components of this nether that he takes? So now, the Gemara says, Amar Shmuel, bikulan, ashi umar, shani ochel lecha, shani toim lecha. So in this case, what the Gemara is assuming, and what Shmuel is stating is, the Mishnah gave you three possible openings. It said, mudrani mimcha, Mufushani mimcha or mruchukani mimcha. Those are three possible openings. And then it said, shani ochel lecha, shani otem lecha. So what Rav Shmuel is telling you is that it's a puzzle that you're putting together. You can choose any one three of these openings and any two of these closings. But you have to put them together. So it would be mudrani mimcha, shani ochel lecha. Mufushani mimcha, shani ochel lecha. Or mruchukani mimcha, shani ochel lecha. Without the Ashani Ochelucha, the Mufushani Mimcha, or the Mudrani Mimcha, are meaningless. They're not even a Yad. Meaning that over here, those are examples of Yadot, because the person didn't make it clear how he was being Mapis the Nether, according to many, or he didn't make it clear that he was making it Asur. He used the language that, as a Yad, we would assume that's what he was trying to accomplish. But if he just says Mufushani Mimcha, And he doesn't specify any more than that. That's not even a yad, according to this. It's not enough information for us to extrapolate from that to say he took a full neder. That's the way Shmuel's explaining it. Now, according to everyone, the Rosh, the Tosafot, the Ran, if you just said Shani Ochel Lecha, that would, according to everyone, be a sur and a sufficient yad to create a neder. The Ran does deal with the girsa that we discussed in the Mishnah. That's only true if you say Shani Ochel Lecha. On the other hand, if the girsa, according to those that it is, she'eni ochel lecha, then it would not be a neder unless you added on the word konam in the front of it, and then you would have to say that the Mishnah is a case where he said konam before eni ochel lecha, otherwise it would be a shvua and not a neder. But they all agree here that she'eni ochel lecha by itself is a sufficient way to create a neder. Meitavik, is that really true? Mudarani mimcha. Mifushani mimcha, miruchukani mimcha, hazerze asur. If you just use those languages alone, it seems like asur. Shani ochelecha, shani otoim lecha, hazerze asur. Seems to be that each part of the Mishnah is independent. Each statement independently can generate an isur, not that you have to bind them together to get an isur. Hachitani. No. You misunderstood the Braita. Bamed verim amurim. When is that true? Ba'omer shani ochelecha. That's only if he adds on the Shani Ochelecha or Shani Otem Lecha. So it's missing that conjunctive word that would have made it into a singular statement, which is, Mudarani Mimcha, Mufashani Mimcha, Mukhani Mimcha, Zeh Asur, Bamed Marim Amurim. When is that true? When I say Shani Ochelecha, Shani Otem Lecha, that's when it's Asur. Vatanya Ipcho. Don't we have a Breita that says just the opposite, which is that the structure of the Breita is the opposite of what we have here, which is, Shani Ochelecha, Shani Otem Lecha, Asur, if they are standalone, then mudrani mimcha, mufushani mimcha, mukhani mimcha, arize asur. So here you can't say bamed varim amurim because the latter part of the braita is what we think is the opening phrase in our Mishnah. So tani ochi. No, imen the braita to read this way. Ukvar amar. Instead of bamed varim amurim, kvar amar. If he already opened with this statement, then it would be fine. Gemara says, ihachi ainu reisha. If that's the case, then how is this different than the reisha? Now, truthfully, there is no Reisha and Sefer here because we brought two different Braitot. The fact that the Gemara says, Va'atanya Ipcha, means that it's bringing a totally independent Braita. The Gemara here brought down two Braitot. But since it brought one Braita first and a Braita second, it calls the first one Reisha and the second one Seifa, even though they're not connected together. So what the Gemara says, if this Braita, which flipped the Lashon around, is telling me the same thing as the first Braita, then, Hainu Reisha, there's no Chiddush over here. Because then the Braita in the beginning put them in that order because it makes sense to connect between them because you put them in that order. But in the Seifa, if you're telling me that the order matters, then why would you make a Braita that's in such a convoluted manner? It's not adding anything for you. It's actually making it more confusing for you. Va'od, asur, asur, lamal mitne. Now this question could have been asked on the first Braita as well, which is that the Braita says asur twice. Now, if you say that the second half of the Braita is qualifying the first half, then you only need to say Asur once. But if you say there are two independent pieces, then saying Asur twice makes a lot of sense. So the problem here is both Braitot say Asur twice. And number two is, if you're trying to make a point, then the order of the Braita matters, and therefore it doesn't make sense that you have one Braita writing it in this order, and another Braita writing it in the reverse order. If order matters, and saying this before that matters, then you should have expressed it in that manner. In that order. Bamed Dvarim Amurim is a acceptable type of explanation for a Braita. Kvar Amar is a very difficult explanation for a Braita, and if it's telling you the same din as another Braita that wrote it more simply, why don't you just write it more simply? So the fact is, Shmuel's explanation cannot be upheld here against these Braita, and therefore, El Amar Shmuel, Taimed Amar, Shani Ochel Lecha, Shani Oteim Lecha Huda Asur, V'Chaveiro Mutar. In that case, he is Asur, and his friend is okay. Aval amar midrani hemech luchudei shnehem asurim. Then they are both asur. Kiha damar Rabbi Yosi b'Rabbi Chanina midrani hemech shnehem asurim. If he uses midrani hemech, then they're both asur. So now what Shmuel is saying now is when you add on the addendum of shani ochel lecha, shani otoim lecha, then you are now narrowing the scope of the neder to be simply to you. You may not benefit from this other party's items because you've now specified that I don't want to eat of your stuff. I don't want to taste of your stuff. So you're making a specific designation of the neder to be applicable to yourself. As opposed to if you just say Mudrani Hemech, so here the Rishonim deal with what does Mudrani Hemech change. You can see here in the Tosafot, he suggests the Mudrani Mimcha Mashma Mimoni Umimoncha Alai. So Tosafot says when I say Mudrani Mimcha, it means that it's a two-way street. My money, your money, we're both asurim to each other. That's what it means, Mudrani Mimcha. Mimcha means, well, I'm restricted to you, you're restricted to me. It's this two-way street. And the Rosh also brings the Mashma, Mudrani Mimcha Melenot Lecha, Begamanati Muderet Lecha, Shlotene Mimeni. Mudrani has that double meaning, which is both that I will not get enough from you, and you will not get enough from me, somewhat akin to what the Tosafot said, that the Mudrani Mimcha means my nechasim on you and your nechasim on me, that it is a lashon kolel. It has a more general encompassment in that language that includes both sides. The Ran, on the other hand here, mentions that Mudrani Emech involves Yerebe Enai Dachi Taim Mishum Damashma Mudrani V'nechasai Mimcha U'menechasecha. The Emech adds on my nechasim, which says Mudrani Emech. I am restricted, and my possessions are restricted to you. Well, if I'm restricted, well, I'm restricted in your possessions. But then when my possessions are restricted, then they're not to me, but they're to you. So what it does is creates this two-way nether because of the two components. One component is you, the other component is your nechasim. So as far as you are concerned, what you're being oser is benefit from his nechasim. If you are making your possessions asur, they're certainly not to you, they're obviously asur to the other party. Because of that, you have the two components as part of this statement of Mudrani Mimech. And the Rosh gives a third interpretation, he brings down, Zinami, Bidlani Mimcha Mikol Bakol. I am separated from you completely. Well, completely means in both directions. It means that you're not going to get benefit from me, I'm not going to get benefit from you. That's what we call distance between us. So that's a two-way street in order to create that separation or that cause of separation. That's how the Rosh explains it. So now what we have from Shmuel is the way you express the nether, the yad will be interpreted differently. Both of them are yadot, but the question is, what does the yad? Mudrani Emech is a yad that has much broader scope and includes yourself and the other party being asur to each other. If you specify Sheni Ochel Lecha, Sheni Otem Lecha, then that yad has a smaller scope, which is that you're only asur in his items. He's not asur in your items. Okay, we're going to stop here on the second line on the top of Hey Amud Aleph.